Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
You are listening to the Following On podcast from TalkSport. I'm Mark Butcher, and I'll be joined by the former England internationals Matt Prior and Gareth Batty, as well as the former South Africa head coach Mickey Arthur, to look back at the second one-day international between the Proteas and England in Bloemfontein, with South Africa producing a quite brilliant run chase to seal the series with a 5-wicket win. We'll also look back at a sensational 100 from South African captain Themba Bavuma, discuss what more England could have done to win the game, and discuss if there are any worries for Matthew Mott's side after their 5th consecutive one-day international defeat. Last time that happened was all the way back in 2014, the bad old days. We'll also get the very latest post-match reaction from the Mangrang Oval, so plenty to come over the next 20 minutes or so. You are listening to Following On. Well, gentlemen, that has been quite the day's entertainment. 50-over cricket has come under fire from both angles. The Test match game from England in particular, squeezing it out of the public consciousness over here in recent times. And of course, the proliferation of T20 leagues around the world has meant that one-day international cricket has looked a little bit like the third cousin over recent times. But that today was quite something. 4 hours and 12 minutes it took England to put 342 runs on the board. A special innings from Joss Butler, the captain, 94 from 83. And you thought at halfway, Mickey Arthur, that with South Africa needing to smash the record at Bloemfontein, I think 274 was the highest previous run chase at the ground, to knock off 343 at a little under 7 runs and over. You thought that England were absolute favourites at halfway.
100%. I did not think South Africa would chase that down, I have to be honest, at the halfway mark. England, I thought, did enough. I thought Harry Brook was outstanding today. Joss Butler, really, really good as well. I thought that was too much for South Africa, but wow, did they bat well. Themba Bavuma, outstanding.
Did they ever? I mean, there were times there in the commentary box where we were sat looking at one another, myself exchanging glances, loving ones, obviously, with Matt Prior, and thinking to ourselves, we've not seen Themba Bavuma bat as fluently or as aggressively as that before at the top of the order. Is that the best you'd seen him play?
Yes, I think it is. I mean, in that style, for certain. I honestly didn't think he had it in him to take the game by the scruff of the neck like he did in the first few overs. We said earlier that Quinton de Kock taking that knock on the thumb when he was keeping, he was really struggling to hit the ball hard. And usually he would take the role of the main aggressor, you would think, between the two of them. And Bavuma sort of made a decision that actually he was going to have to be that guy. And then you're relying on your skill and ability to be able to hit the ball off a good length on a two-paced pitch 20 rows back. And he did it comfortably a number of times. I mean, he 25 or first 15 balls. And that sort of set South Africa off. Because if he hadn't have done that, Quinton de Kock was struggling. Suddenly, chasing 343, you're behind the eight ball early. You're putting a lot of pressure on the guys to come. So as far as, you know, not just the opening batsman, but as a captain as well, having sort of stated that he wanted South Africa to play with more aggression, he led by example.
Mickey, how important was that for not just for Themba Bavuma, but also for the psyche of South African cricket, really? He's come under a bit of fire People wondering whether or not he should actually be in the side, let alone captain it. And yet he's gone out there and played that way today.
Unbelievable innings. Really, really good. That will do him the world of good. But not only him, the people that are continuing on his back, the world of good. Because that was a truly special innings. He hasn't played 2020 cricket for South Africa. He didn't get, or, I mean, he captains the South African side, but then doesn't get picked up in the SA League. That would have been embarrassing for him. Really, really embarrassing. But he's come out firing this. I think this is his best format. This and Test cricket, I think, are his two best formats. But today he played an innings full of maturity. He led from the front and was simply outstanding.
Gareth Batty, England put to the sword, really, with the ball. They lacked, Ollie Stone aside, lacked a real cutting edge there. Lack of cricket, perhaps, for Wokes and Topley. But South Africa played an extra batter. So that meant that Marco Jansen was coming in at number seven. They had that little bit of extra depth. And conversely, England's bowling looked a little bit toothless at times in that run, Chase. How did you see it?
I suppose fractionally you can understand it to an extent with guys being a bit rusty. Certainly not played much 50-over cricket. But I suppose you sit back and you have a look at it cold light of day. You just said our skills were fractionally off. The areas that we bowled were fractionally off. We just made it a little bit easy. You can forgive somebody playing very, very well, and there are two or three guys who played out of their skin, which is fine. You can sit back there. But if we're executing badly, I think that's a problem. My biggest concern would be we didn't strike up front. If you ain't getting wickets in the first 10, you're only just your damage limitation further down the order, as the modern game is. And I think that's what England have always set out to do. Sorry, not always. 4 years ago, 5 years ago, that was set out. We're going to get 300 and we're going to take wickets. And I think we're relying too much on saving and starving people boundaries middle to death, as opposed to taking wickets early and being on the front foot.
Ollie Stone had a good day, though. Played a great deal of one-day international cricket. Obviously, he had as much documented injury problems. Now finds himself at Nottinghamshire, another county for him. But 2 for 48 from 10 in the midst of carnage for everybody else is a fine return from him.
Yeah, it is. He's been dogged with injury for sort of 2 or 3 years now. I think we were in Sri Lanka when he made his debut for England, and we were covering that, and he bowled the speed of light and roughed up a few lads who were trying to whack him all over, and he bowled quickly. I was on air with Mickey, and we sort of said he's almost our Norkia, and Norkia's are pretty much best of the best at bowling fast in the middle overs and making things happen. They're big compliments, they're big observations. We just hope he stays fit, because he's a huge asset to this team.
Yeah, he certainly is. England were outplayed, really, or at least outclassed in the second half. Conditions were difficult, weren't they? I mean, not making excuses for England here at all, but this morning when Themba Bavuma won the toss and stuck England in, he said he was expecting there to be a bit of movement. There was more than a bit of movement, and England had to weather an early storm from South Africa's bowlers with a new ball.
Yeah, England had by far the worst of the conditions today. They came out, the ball swung. The ball seemed, there was a little bit of inconsistent bounce as the wicket dried out. It was tough going up front, and that whole power play, I think it was 36 for 2 or something in the power play, was genuinely really tough going. Harry Brook played, an innings of high, high quality to get England anywhere close. Obviously, Butler and them took the score to where it needed to be. But Harry Brook's innings was the one in tough conditions that set it up for England. But conditions certainly favoured South Africa.
I've been quite hyperbolic about Harry Brook. I've said there's a touch of genius about him, Matt Prior. I mean, it's only his second One Day International. He played magnificently today and seems to have all three formats sort of well within his compass of being very, very successful in all three formats.
For me, he's the best young player I've seen come into an England team, and just all round, as you say, all formats. Every game he has played, he's looked not just every bit an international cricketer, but every bit an absolute freak, quite frankly. I mean, the shots he plays, and they're just little signs, like on a tricky surface like this where good players are struggling to time it. And his base, the position he gets in, even just blocking a real simple front foot defence shot, he has all the time in the world. His basics are incredible. But then when he needs that touch of skill and touch of flair, he's got every shot in the book. His footwork is quick as a boxer's. He plays spin brilliantly. He plays pace brilliantly. I don't think there's enough you can say about this guy. What we're going to have to do is manage him and manage how much cricket he plays, what type of cricket he plays, because there's going to be every franchise in the world wanting him. England are going to want him to play in every single game, and it's just not possible. So that, for me, is the frightening thing about Harry Brook. Nothing about his technique or his ability. It's who is he going to play for and how much is he going to play?
Well, as Del Boy might have said, the world is very much his lobster. I'm just looking out there on the screen at the moment. Joss Butler has a slightly lobsterous look. The sun was beating down on all and sundry in Bloemfontein. Here he is.
Before I go any further, Joss, well played yourself, 94, unfinished on 82. I mean, tough conditions this morning to bat on. I guess, to be fair, conditions that not many were expecting.
No, I don't think we're probably expecting the ball to swing as much as I thought. South Africa bowled really well to start with and picked up those early wickets. So now to come back from that and to post 340, I thought was a fantastic effort from the guys. So I'm pretty pleased with our score. But brilliant game of cricket. You know, I thought that was a great chase.
It sure was a terrific game and everyone was royally entertained again. But at the halfway mark, what were your thoughts with that total on the board?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good score, and I think having seen the other game the other night where the wicket maybe got a bit tougher as it got older, but I think credit to the South African team. I thought they chased that really well. Temba led from the front, and I thought that sort of Markram, Klaassen and Miller sort of had some great momentum when they came in, and we just couldn't maybe pick up those wickets early enough.
You guys have had some terrific clashes against South Africa. Just to mention one other player on your side, Harry Brook, terrific 80.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, he's been performing in Test cricket and T20 cricket. We know what a great talent he is and what a fantastic player he will be. So it's a great start for his ODI career for him. And there's plenty more to come from him.
And I bet there's a lot of people in Kimberley can't wait to see you guys there. So one more to go. I'm sure you want to entertain and get on the right side of the result.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we come here to win games of cricket. Of course, there's a bigger picture in terms of building towards a World Cup as well. But, you know, we want to build confidence by winning games as well. So, it's, you know, absolutely, we go there motivated to try and win that game.
Josh, well played today.
Thank you.
Mike Haseman there with Joss Butler, the England captain. Is there a slight sense? I mean, England have now lost five in a row, as we mentioned. The first time they've done that since the bad old days of 2014. Not time for panic, I suppose, for Matthew Mott and for Joss Butler. But is there a sort of a slight sense that, well, you know, we won the World Cup, we are a very good white ball side, we can kind of brush some of these losses under the carpet? Or do you think that they genuinely feel as though, look, we're heading in the right direction, the results are not quite going our way?
I think it's a combination of both. As long as the plan is formulating in the changing room and with the management of the sort of squad that's going to be at the World Cup, of where we're going, of who we're evolving, of what positions we are just lacking fractionally in, I don't have a drama. I certainly look around the traps. It isn't for the want of quality. We have the quality. But as Duncan Fletcher once said, we've got to get the right bums in the right seats on the bus. And that is the problem that England face at the minute. It isn't the quality. It doesn't worry me, the odd loss here and there. But we need to be targeting certain areas of the game that possibly we were very good in and we're just a fraction off now.
Reminds me of the old Morecambe and Wise classic of all the right notes but all in the wrong order for England at the moment. Let's talk about South Africa. In fact, let's hear from South Africa's captain Temba Bavuma and what has been a record-breaking day for the Proteas. He's with Mike Haseman.
Temba, congratulations on your performance, but also the team. A series win, that's pretty special.
Yeah, very special. Playing against England is always a tough ask. Your disciplines are always being tested, and I think it's been a good opportunity for us to go out and really, like I've been saying, test our way of playing. You know, going out and chasing 340 like that gives us a lot of confidence on the confidence that we have. So, yeah, good day, good outing for us.
Now, some of us, or most of us actually in the commentary box, are saying we thought that was your best performance for South Africa, your third 101 internationals. How do you rate that century?
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. I think these wickets here in Bloem are actually quite nice. I guess it suits the way we'd like to play. I was able to hit a couple of balls out in the middle. I think it's good as well that I reminded myself how to count to 100 as well. But yeah, quite enjoyable. Try build on it, like I said.
Played superbly. What about that change room at the end? How tense was it getting?
David was still there. Marco was also still there. Marco struggled to get it away. But I think the guys were quite calm. We had wickets in hand. I think something miraculous could have happened for us to lose that game. But, I think the guys were fairly calm.
If you look back on the entire game, as captain, what pleased you the most?
I think if I look at the bowling, we spoke about trying to dominate that first 10 overs. I think we were there. Yes, we didn't get the wickets that we wanted, but I mean, we were still there. At one stage, they lifted their intensity, but I felt the guys stayed in it. We knew that a couple of wickets would kind of slow them down. At the end, probably not our best, again, in terms of how we finished it. And I think with the batting, you know, like I said, you know, we knew we had to come out and play. We took the situation out of it and really just played the conditions. Conditions were good, really good for batting, and we were able to exploit this. So I think, all in all, good performance from us. There's certain areas we can pick at, but good performance.
And what about this crowd? What a turnout and what terrific support you guys had.
Yeah, lovely crowd. Haven't played in Boom for quite a while, but I mean, to see all the people here in the stands, that's magnificent. I'm sure in Kimberley we'll have the same thing. But yeah, thanks to the crowd, thanks to everyone who came and supported.
Now, we know, of course, the series is important. You guys have won that. You want to win three out of these three to make it easier for you guys to qualify for the World Cup. I mean, you're on the right track and looking forward to that in Kimberley?
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. Again, we haven't played in Kimberley in a number of years, so it's a bit hard to know what to expect. But, you know, like I've been saying, you know, Wednesday will be another opportunity for us to go out and execute our plan.
Temba, thanks for your time. You played sensationally today. Well played.
Thank you, Mike.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out UnitedHealthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
South Africa were sensational. It was a quite magnificent run, Chase. Just to put it into a little bit of context for you, the third best ever by a South African team, the second being 372 for six against Australia back in 2016, and 10 years prior to that, the classic, the thriller at the Wanderers, where they chased down 438 again against Australia. Mickey Arthur, I suppose Mike Haseman touched on it slightly there. He didn't want to speak its name, but of course the crowd there in Bloemfontein would have seen South Africa get into positions where nobody could lose a game and watch them lose a game. So that there was, you know, he sort of brushed it off, Temba Bavuma, as being, well, you know, we always had it under control, but the crowd certainly didn't feel that. And some of us here in the dressing room, yourself in the commentary box, yourself included, were thinking, oh no, please don't mess this up again. It was a big, big thing to get over the line there.
Yeah, it was a massive thing for them, but I just liked the way they played. I thought their whole out cricket today was very, very good. South Africa have got themselves in winning positions before, and to use the C word, choked. They have, and you could see that you could see that on the faces of everybody in the crowd, and certainly they would have felt it in the dressing room as well. But as long as David Miller was there, I was always comfortable they were going to get home.
58 from 37 from Miller. Marco Jansen had a few hairy moments there where he, you know, found a bit of fresh air. 32 from 29. They got them over the line. Matt Pryor, an impressive batting performance simply because South Africa never allowed the strike rate to dip. You know, we've seen in the past them go off like a train in the power play and then almost put the parachute out and just slow down, but they were able to just keep accelerating smoothly through. And I think you may have said it, they got ahead of the run rate early and stayed there pretty much for the rest of the run chase.
Especially when you lose wickets, you know, it's easier to do when you've got two set batsmen in and you know what the run rate is that you want to stay at. As Bavuma said there, good batting conditions. I mean, watching all day, I thought the wicket was doing a little bit and moving around, but he seemed to think it was pretty easy out there and made it look easy, so fair play to him. But yeah, you know, we're tracking the runway worms and everything else, and South Africa were consistently above England the whole run chase. And as I say, or allude to, even when they lost wickets, the new man would come in, the man in would take that pressure off him, keep the boundaries going, allow that the new batsman to get set, but it didn't take them very long either, and they would get up with the rate or get ahead of the rate. So just taking pressure off and working as partnerships, that's the crucial piece, is as you say, when you've got two set men in, fine, but it's when you lose a wicket, how do you go about that next 10 balls, next 10 runs getting into the partnership?
Well, yeah, I think I'd have to agree with all of that, and South Africa can be very, very pleased with themselves for a job well done. Another 10 points in the bag. They are inching ever closer to that qualification, automatic qualification in the World Cup. They've got the one match against England left in this series in Kimberley, then the two matches against the Netherlands, and they are starting to breathe a little easier. They came into this series under a real cloud of not making it to the World Cup proper and having to qualify. So a reminder then that we will be back for the third and final One Day International of the series on Wednesday morning as both teams head to Kimberley. We'll be on air at 10:30 a.m. ahead of the first ball at 11. We'll bring you another following on podcast tomorrow. But from myself, Mickey Arthur, Gareth Batty and Matt Pryor, it's a very good afternoon and evening to you, and we will catch up with you once more on Wednesday here on TalkSport 2.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud. Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode, and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.